Thank you. Today I'll be presenting about roots and rhizosphere microbiome projects that is that I did as a part of Kansas State University and at the University of Florida. So this is a tomato grafting project. So if you might have heard about grafting, so it's one of the ancient agricultural practices, and in the recent years it's getting more popularity among the organic farmers because it allows to manage soil-borne pathogens. For example, a lot of the farmers use it for management of soil-borne pathogens such as fusarium wilt, verticillium wilt, root knot nematodes, and so on. The other reason farmers like it is even if they don't have a problem with the soil, but if you still do the grafting, you get benefits in terms of yield and also the biomass. So basically in grafting, you buy the rootstocks. These are hybrid rootstocks that are commercially available. And the scion, which is called the top part, the shoot part, is based upon what kind of phenotype that you want. Probably a lot of the farmers like because of the test and the quality of the fruits. So here's a picture showing how grafting is done if you have never done grafting. So basically it's kind of surgery that plant pathologists do. Basically what you're doing is you're cutting the gut of two plants and putting them together. By doing so, the good thing is it works, and because you see increasing the yield, increasing the vigor, and decreasing the disease. So the part that we are mostly interested, not on the above ground but on the below ground part, because we are interested in looking at the roots and rhizosphere microbial communities, and we want to understand how these procedures, the grafting as agricultural practice, impact these microbes. So there are several questions that we are interested. The first question we are interested is there effect of grafting on the microbial communities? Then the second question we are looking at is if there's an effect, so is that effect similar across different rootstock genotypes? And we're comparing this effect at two different spatial resolutions, one at the rhizosphere, one at the endophyte. So endophyte is inside the root. And basically we're using the tools of ecology, it's a community ecology tools, the measure of diversities, and also we're not only interested in what is present or absent there, but also we're also interested in looking at interactions of these microbes across different treatments. For that reason, we built these network models to look at the interactions of microbes, which allows us to look interactions among different treatments. And I'll be showing to some results of these network models as well. So it is quite well known that the importance of soil microbial communities to plant performance. And as you can see in this review paper, not all the microbes are good. There are obviously bad microbes. The example of bad microbes could be plant pathogen. And there are some ugly microbes, which could be the microbes that cause food poisoning and so on. But the key interventions as a plant pathologist or agriculturalist, we should think about how can we retrieve these benefits of good microbes. Can we modify our agricultural practice so that we get benefits from good microbes, at the same time minimize the bad impact of bad microbes? So in this regards, our study is mostly focused on how does this agricultural practice, in my case is a grafting, affects the selection of microbes. And the other question that we're also interested in building these network models. So basically you can do the metagenomic studies and get the results. So with network models, we can use this information from metagenomic studies as an input and build a network models that allows you to predict candidate taxa that can be useful for management. So one of the examples could be you can use these sort of models to select candidate taxa for biocontrol agents. Or you can also use the same model to select the candidate taxa, microbial taxa, for biofertilization and so on. So I'll be presenting some results on the network models also. So for my studies, we have four different rootstocks. So these are the treatments. The first two one are non-graft and self-graft. So these are the controls that we have. And the last two are the hybrid rootstocks, RST04106 and MaxiPort. Again, these are commercially available rootstocks. And all of our sampling sites were in a high tunnel. So the picture that you're seeing is a high tunnel, and it's how the tomatoes are grown. And from our field data, one of the rootstock was effective in terms of biomass and yield. The MaxiPort was, it has a higher yield, but whereas RST04106 was not effective in terms of yield and biomass. So this is sort of a standard methodology that we use. And again, this is a metagenomic study, and we use 16S ribosomal RNA, it's amplicon sequencing. If I have a question, I can answer later on. So these are the results. Let's start with the first result, where the picture that you're seeing here is looking at the alpha diversity. On the y-axis, you have a number which is a reflection of Shannon entropy. The way it works is higher the number, higher the diversity. And on the top panel you are seeing here are different treatments, non-graph, self-graph, RST0 for 106, and a max report. And the bar here, there are two different things, these two. The one is for rhizosphere and another is for roots of these endophytes. So what you can see here from, and the top panel here is for 2014, because I had 2 years of data, for one for 2014 and one another for 2015. So on the top panel, what you see here is there's a significantly higher diversity with effective root stocks. And that in our case, it's a maxipod. And you see the similar trend regardless of endophytes or in the rhizosphere. In the 2015 also, we observed the similar kind of results. There's a significantly higher diverse community associated with the maxipod in the rhizosphere compared to other treatments or the controls. But the self-graft of 2015 becomes non-significantly different from the maxipod, especially inside the roots or the endosphere. So this is a bar graph showing different profile of microbes, bacterial communities across different treatments. I don't want to go, because we don't know the function of these, a lot of these survey data. These microbes are there, you don't know what they are doing, and still you are looking at pretty high resolutions taxonomically. So I don't want to go into the detail about the function, but some of the pattern that we see here is there's a decrease in TM7 in a maxipod. So TM7 are the microbes that are known as a pathogen for actinomycetes. Under actinomycetes, there are a group of taxa or the species that produce antibiotics. And other taxa that are reduced in a maxipod was bacteroides. And there was an increase in the formicutes, is another taxa that was increased. Again, the color code here are at the phylum level. So we're not only interested in what is there, but we also did like a statistical test to look at the compositional shift of these OTUs of the taxa across different treatment. So this is the result of what you're seeing here. It's based upon differential abundant tests using generalized linear mixed model. So each dot here represent the different taxa or the OTUs. The label here on the y-axis represent different genus. And the color code represent different phylum where they belong. So again, here we are comparing between maxipod with the control. It's a contrast analysis. So controls include both self-graft and non-graft. And you compare with RST04 versus control and self-graft versus non-graft. So what you see here, and this one is for rhizosphere on the surface of the roots, you can see there are more taxa that are enriched or depleted in a maxipod compared to the controls and the other non-effective root stocks. And the interesting thing, then when you do the similar sort of comparisons inside the roots in the endosphere, you see much more taxa there is much more compositional shift of taxa inside the roots in the maxipod compared to the controls. So if you remember the results from alpha diversity, just the counterintuitive, we saw higher diversity in the rhizosphere, but when you talk about the compositional shift, there is a more thing going on inside the root than on the surface. This is the analysis that we are interested in, how much variations does the genotype of rootstocks plays in the partitioning of the communities. So here we use this principal coordinate analysis based upon Baker-Curtis distance and to partition these variations associated with the different factors. So the way you look at this graph is here the symbol represents whether it's a endophytes or the rhizosphere. And the different color represent different treatments. So the way, if the two dots are close to each other, they're clustering, that means they have similar compositional community composition, they share much more taxa. If they're apart from each other, that means they're different in terms of community compositions. Then what we saw here was the major variations in the bacterial community across samples are explained by compartments, this is the root versus rhizosphere. And the second axis that explained most of this variation was the location of where do you sample these samples, right? Different sites. And we do see the significant effect of genotypes of rootstocks on the variation of microbial communities, but it's very, very small compared to other factors. In 2014, we observed about 2.82%. In 2015, it's about 2.79% of the variation that is being explained by rootstock genotypes. So regardless, even though it's small, there's a significant effect of rootstock genotypes, and similar sort of findings has been described in other studies like a rice microbiome and also in a Arabidopsis system. The next thing that we did was looking at the interactions using the network models. So this is a schematic diagram. If you've never seen network models, it's a schematic diagram to represent how it works. So here the node or the dot represent different taxa or species. And the link here defines the sort of relationship. So it could be either absence or presence, or it could be a certain level of correlations. So anything that defines the relationship between two taxa goes into the links or the is. So this is once you have this sort of a system to represent node and the relationship, you can compare the network structures across different treatment. The example that we are seeing here is the comparison between a root rhizosphere maxiport and the root inside nidopites of maxiport. The way I color code here, the color code of the node represents which module or the cluster they belong to. And the link, the blue mean positive associations and the red mean negative associations. So as you can see from this graph, there's a much more interactions in the maxiport on the rhizosphere compared to endophytes. So what he did the next was compare across different treatments and also between rhizosphere and endophytes. Let's look at the top panel first. It's on the rhizosphere. Again, we have the same treatment, non-graft, self-graft, RST04106, and the maxiport. If you go from left to right, you can see there's a much more interactions going on with the maxiport. And you see the similar trend inside the roots as an endosphere. However, if you compare between rhizosphere and endophytes, the community structure in the roots, inside the roots, is less complex compared to the rhizosphere. And probably this is a function of root exudates. And there could be other biological explanation behind this observation as well. So, because once you build these networks, the next thing that we did was, can we characterize this node, the taxa, based upon network attributes? So what it did was we take the networks and characterize this node into four different categories. So one is a module hub, network curve, peripherals, and connectors. So I want you to look at this schematic diagram about different types of this node. So the example of peripheral could be the one that's on the surface, like this one. This is the module hub. It's the hub or the center for that module. The one here is a network curve. It's the hub or the centers for whole networks. So, and using this similar sort of concept, we characterize these microbes between non-graft and cell-graft. And the example that I'm showing here is for the rhizosphere for maxiport and rhizosphere for non-graft. So, it seems like there are more taxa that are functioning as a connectors or a key node in the maxiport compared to the non-graft. So, and a lot of these taxa that we observe as a key node belongs to the phylum such as proteobacteria and actinobacteria. And many species under this phylum are known to be plant growth promoting in nature. So in conclusion, so here's a short conclusion, is a reiteration of the results that I found. So the rootstock that increase yield and biomass, in our case the maxiport, has a significantly more diverse bacterial communities compared to non-graft and self-graft. Rootstock treatment explained only the small portion of variation that we observe in the bacterial communities. Even though it was small, it was statistically significant. And when you compare the bacterial communities between rhizosphere and endosphere, the rhizosphere always had a higher diversity compared to the endosphere, and it's kind of expected. And from our network models, what you see was the mean node degree for effective rootstocks was greater than for the controls, which means that there's a more interactions going among the OTs, or there's a greater niche speciation going on in the maxiport. The last conclusion that I have here is the effective rootstock not only has a more interactions, but it also has a node that functioning as a key, the node with the key network properties in the maxiport. So finally, I would like to acknowledge the funders who provide us money to this research, and also the University of Florida and Kansas State University for allowing me to work on this project, and my lab, which is a Garrett lab, located at University of Florida. And I'm happy to take any questions if you have.